Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you all again today. As always, beautiful fall weather we're having. Man, just you go outside and it just reminds you of God's creativity and His beauty, His faithfulness. Just so encouraging. I've noticed down near our road when I'm coming out of the driveway now that there's a lot of trucks down there. I'm pretty sure they're getting ready for hunting season down there. Hunting season's coming soon. So I read a story I thought I'd share with you. This one fella from the city was out in hunting, and he shot him a huge deer. But about this time, the game warden shows up and asks him if he has a hunting license. And he scratches his head and he goes, "Oh no, I guess I don't." And so, all right, well, I'm going to have to take you in. So he and the game warden takes the two of them pretty much to drag this 300-pound deer out of the woods. And about the time they get to the road, he says, "Oh, I remember. I do have a hunting license." All right, so we will be, if you want to grab your Bibles, turn with us to Psalms 22. We started last week talking about wisdom found in poetry in the Bible, and we're going to be mainly looking at Psalms. And we talked about the idea that poetry is wisdom that speaks to your soul. God wants to speak to the deepest parts of you. So in the Psalms, we find wisdom that speaks to our soul, restores our soul, leads our soul closer to our Heavenly Father. And as we come to Psalm 22, we're going to be looking at this idea, wisdom when you feel forsaken. Wisdom when you feel forsaken. Okay, so we're going to dive right in to that this morning. So let's pray before we do. Lord in heaven, we just thank you for this beautiful new day. Lord, thank you that it's a day you've made, and because of that, we should rejoice. We should celebrate it. We should celebrate you. Lord, we do. We just thank you for giving us the gift of life and allowing us to know you. And Lord, we thank you for letting us gather here like this to worship you and to look together into your word. We do pray that you'll be teaching us this morning, Lord. Help me to get out of the way. Lord, would you be our teacher? And we just thank you for the words we're about to read. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so start right there at the very top. It says, Psalm 22, for the choir director, upon Igeleth Hashashar, a psalm of David. Now, realize if you have the New King James, that they probably tried to translate that. And they came up with the Deer of the Dawn. And most people believe that's the name of the tune that David wanted this psalm to be sung to. So that's kind of fun, right? To know that they actually sang these words to one another and to our Heavenly Father. But keep going with me in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I want you to stop there for just a moment, because if you've read the Bible very much, those words should sound familiar to you. Those words are an exact quote of what Jesus spoke from the cross. Actually, we get it in Matthew 27 in two different languages. We get it first in Aramaic, and then Matthew translates it to these exact words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And many people believe that this whole psalm is a prophetic psalm, and that it is what Jesus is thinking and feeling and saying while he is hanging on the cross. And you get to be the judge. But as you go through the psalm, it becomes more and more obvious, actually quite breathtaking at times, to realize that this was written somewhere around 1,000 years before Christ was ever placed on the cross. But what's he feeling immediately? My God, why have you forsaken me? He is feeling forsaken. We actually have it in three different languages, interestingly enough. In Matthew 27, we first get it in Aramaic, and I'll try to pronounce these words. The Aramaic word is sabachthani. Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, he cries out. It means, you have left me, forsaken me. It's basically a distress cry. Matthew then translates it into Greek, and that word is egkatalipo. It means to abandon, desert, leave helpless, forsake. It's almost like Jesus is having this feeling of, wow, I'm going through intense suffering here, and God, you have turned your back and walked away. In the Hebrew, here in Psalm 22, the word is azab. It means left behind, abandoned, forsaken, neglected. So that you immediately see deep into Jesus' soul. That's what he's feeling at that moment. The next part of the verse goes on to describe it in more depth. He says, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. And so here's a great example of Hebrew poetry. He says the first line, why have you forsaken me? The second line, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. And so you get to see it from different angles. You get to look inside of Jesus' soul and what exactly he's experiencing right then while he's hanging on the cross. So let's bring this into our own lives. Just think with me about it for a moment. Have you ever felt forsaken? You know, maybe by a friend, maybe by a family member, maybe as this psalm is describing, maybe you have felt forsaken by God himself. I know there have been a couple of times in my life, you know, as I look back on them, I think usually I was wrong, but I did feel forsaken. I'm not going to try to describe that to you because really it's what's most important is what you're remembering right now, because I'd just like you to be thinking through that. Have you ever felt forsaken? Going into verse 2, he describes it a little bit more. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. No rest. Okay, if we're right, if this is a prophetic psalm, remember Jesus didn't get one wink of sleep a night before the crucifixion. He was at the Last Supper. We're going to be celebrating that just a few minutes later this morning. How appropriate. But he was at the Last Supper. He washed his disciples' feet. He assured them of his love. He said, I earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. And they talked about his body being broken, his blood spilled. They go right from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he begins to pray. He begins to call out to his heavenly Father, actually for deliverance. Remember, he said, if there is any way, take this thing away from me. Then he comes back to his disciples. I believe it's like for the third time. They've been sleeping. He had asked them to, you can see why he felt forsaken. He'd asked them to wait up with him. He comes back for the third time. He wakes them up. Immediately the Roman soldiers take him into custody. They take him back to the Sanhedrin. He goes through the mockery of a trial. He's sent to Pilate, from Pilate to Herod, from Herod back to Pilate. He's convicted. He is beaten. They lay the cross on him, and it's not long before he is actually hanging on this cross. So he feels very, very forsaken. So as we go through this morning, the idea is going to be we're looking for wisdom when we feel forsaken. And I hope this is helpful. We're going to be using an acrostic this morning. We're going to use the word rapport, if you want to bring up that first slide, brother. So the word rapport I guess because it's from French or something, you don't pronounce the T at the end. But it's the meaning behind it is a relationship built on mutual trust. And I believe as we read through Psalm 22, that's what we see between Jesus and his heavenly Father. This relationship that is built on mutual trust. And I believe that's what you and I need to rely on and go to as we may feel forsaken at different times in our lives. So we're going to use each of the letters to talk about a different part of the psalm together. So go ahead and bring up the first. The R stands for remember God's work from the past. When you feel forsaken, remember God's work from the past. And that's what Jesus immediately begins to do here in verse 3. He says, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Now Jesus feels utterly forsaken, but he immediately knows to go back and begin remembering what God's done in the past. And so he thinks back to the whole nation of Israel, those who trusted in God in the past, and he just begins to remember how God was with them, how God was faithful to them, how God protected them and brought them through so many different trials. Now again, Jesus is not feeling this yet, but that's where his mind's going, remembering what God's done in the past. You get to see more of how he feels if you keep going in verse 6. He says, but I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Now, if you remember the Gospels, remember that's exactly what happened at the cross. As Jesus is hanging there on the cross, people begin to come by, the chief priests, the Jewish leaders, other passersby, and who had heard Jesus in the past, and many of them begin to mock him and to say, hey, let God deliver him. He talked about being delivered so much. Let God deliver him. But Jesus, even while he's feeling these things, continues to remember God's work from the past. Look at verse 9. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breasts. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. So Jesus is remembering back. Many people believe because of these verses that Joseph may have died at a very early age. Because he says here, upon you I was cast from birth. We don't know that for sure. We're not told exactly when Joseph died. But you can just see him thinking back to God's work in his own life. What was it like? And so for you and I, when we feel forsaken, this is what we can, I believe, should immediately do. Number one, remember God's faithfulness that we just see all around us. And then we should try to remember his dealings with us specifically. In other words, you know, meditate on how the Lord found you. Or maybe if you saw it differently, how he helped you find him. Meditate on that day. Remember God's other work in your life. For me, it is a vivid picture. I can remember it like it was this morning. You know, the God calling me, drawing me, and me just not wanting to respond, me being afraid to respond, went on for weeks. And then I finally said, okay, whatever. away with this fear. And I gave my heart to him. I invited him into my life, asked him to forgive my sins. And just the relief washed over me, and the joy that filled my heart, and the plans for a new future. And of course, I have many years of knowing the Lord since then, and so I have so many things that I can and should go back to and remember if I am feeling forsaken. And I believe that's what Jesus is doing right here. Okay, the next thing, the A stands for ask for his help in the present. Ask for his help in the present. And it's quick. He asks a little bit more later, but in verse 11 he says, be not far from me, for trouble is near. And you know, I love how he just throws out that instantaneous prayer. And that's all it needs to be, right? God knows what we're going through in so many ways. He knows what we're going through. And so Jesus just says, don't be far away. Trouble is near. And it can be quick. It can even just be a thought. I think it's helpful when we are talking to our Heavenly Father. It's helpful to say it out loud. We need to hear ourselves put our faith in him. Others need to hear us put our faith in him. But ask for his help. Don't be afraid to do that. All right, let's go on to the P. The first P stands for pour out the situation to him. And that's what Jesus begins to do here in the very next verse. He says, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I like it that there's two P's in rapport, because if you go ahead and bring up that next one, pour out and pour some more. Give him all the details. I like it that there's two P's there, because Jesus begins to really describe in detail to his Heavenly Father what he is experiencing. And this is such a picture, such a vivid picture. Many bulls have surrounded me. Remember, right after Pilate has been trying him, he says, take him back and beat him. And so they take him back into this praetorium. And he's surrounded by these burly, huge Roman soldiers. And they beat him terribly with a whip. And then I understand some people didn't even survive that. So much bleeding happens as a result of it. But they beat him terribly with this whip. Then they stand him up in the middle of them. They begin to mock him. They put these beautiful purple robes on him. Crown of thorns on his head. They begin to kneel in front of him and say, hail, King of the Jews, mocking him. They're spitting in his face. They're slapping him, and they're saying, prophesy to us. Which one of us slapped you? And so you just see how descriptive this is. Many bulls have surrounded me. In verse 14, he continues to describe this to his Heavenly Father. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. And of course, that would be what it would feel like, a crucifixion. If you're hanging, if your hands are spiked to the cross and you're hanging there, it's not going to take long before your muscles are just going to be completely inept. And it's just going to feel like your joints are being torn apart. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. Jesus is just describing exactly what he's going through. His strength is gone. Remember, he's been up all night. He endured the trials. He endured the beating. They bring him out. They lay the cross on his back for him to carry up to Golgotha. And he can't get very far with it. His strength is just gone. They have to pull in another guy, a passerby, to actually carry his cross for him. Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Again, as I mentioned, it's breathtaking that this was written 1,000 years before it ever happened. We know that. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls dated way, way before this ever took place. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. If you remember from reading the Gospels, that's exactly what happened. After they crucified Jesus, the Roman soldiers divided up his garments. They came to the tunic, and they're like, ooh, this is a nice one. Let's don't tear it. And so they gambled for it, just exactly like it says here. So Jesus is just pouring out the details to his heavenly Father. He is describing exactly what he's going through. And brothers and sisters, I believe you and I should do the same thing. If you feel forsaken, you begin by remembering God's work from the past. You ask for his help in the present, right where you are, and then you just begin to pour out your heart to him. Describe what you're going through. Don't leave anything hidden. If you've read the Psalms very much, you know David is great at this, right? David just lets it all out. He might be angry. He might be furious. He might think that something is unjust. He, of course, experienced a lot of injustice himself. And he just poured it all out to the Lord. And I believe that's what the Lord would have us to do as well. It's actually helpful because you know someone's listening. I can remember sometimes in my life, one in particular comes to mind. When I was just going through some stuff I did not know how to handle. And so I remember being out in a huge field and just praying one verse over over and over and over and over and over again. I think for like a half an hour, I didn't say anything to the Lord except one verse. That was his command to me about what I was going through. And we should just give it to him. Pour out all the details to your heavenly Father. I'd like to read you a little bit of a song that we used to sing when I was a kid. I can't remember the name of the song. I didn't bother to look it up because that's not important. I just want to read you a couple of words because I believe this is an invitation to you and I from a loving Heavenly Father. Here's what the song says. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn. Excuse me. He will turn your sorrows into joy. He will. And in case you haven't guessed it yet, that is where this psalm unbelievably is going. We're getting there quickly. But the Lord, I believe, is going to give his son a picture of the future. But when you feel forsaken, remember God's work in your life from the past, ask for His help, and then pour out all the details to Him. Tell Him exactly what you are going through. All right, brother, if you go ahead and bring up the O. The O stands for overemphasize your requests to Him. Okay? Yes, you can pray a quick prayer for help. Don't be far away, Lord. Trouble is near. But then you can also pour out exactly what you need. And Jesus begins to do that in verse 19. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. You know, I find it fascinating that Jesus prays here, deliver my soul from the sword. If you remember, the night before he prayed, Father, if there is any way possible, take this cup away from me. Okay, the brutality and the humiliation of the cross, and I guess of having the sins of the world laid on his shoulders, would have been astronomical. But here, as the obvious answer to that prayer is, no, son, we have to go through this. He says, deliver my soul from the sword. My only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me. And you can see right there a glimpse that Jesus knows his heavenly Father hears him. From the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me. He knows his Father is listening, and he knows that his Father is going to respond. So overemphasize your request to him. Tell him what's going on and ask him to deliver you from it. You know, we don't always get the answer to our prayers exactly the way we would like them to be answered, right? I know that's been my experience. But as I look back at my life now, I just thank the Lord that he knew what I really needed. And he knew what the situation, what everyone in the situation needed. And I have found him to be faithful. So ask him for what you need, just like the Lord Jesus did. Let's go on to the R. The R stands for rest in God's faithfulness. After we have asked him, we get to trust him. Right? That's what Jesus said. If you want to write this down, I'm not going to turn there, but this is Mark 11, verse 24. I'd just like to read it for you. Mark 11, 24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Believe you've received them. And I am confident Jesus, we know we're talking about having a good rapport with his heavenly Father. They had a great relationship. He believed that his heavenly Father heard his prayers. So if you'll go ahead and put the T up, the final thought is tell others. And I wanted the R and the T, resting in God's faithfulness and telling others up there as we read through the rest of this psalm together, because I believe we see them all wrapped up in one another. Just this idea of trusting God and telling others at the same time. Verse 22, Jesus says, I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. Boy, check out verse 24. He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. What astonishing words. Jesus began, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's how I feel. But by the time he's here, he says, you haven't hidden your face. You haven't hidden your face. God sees. You know, there is actually a big debate about this. Many people conclude when they read over in the Gospels that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Many people think that means that God turned his back and he didn't look at his son. And I can understand why they say that and why they think that. The idea is that he couldn't stand, that God himself cannot look on sin. And so as all the sin of the world is being placed on the shoulders of his son, that he turned around and he couldn't look. So I can understand that idea, but I'm not so sure that's true. I believe, possibly from this verse, that he did not. His father did not look away, that he did not turn his face away from his son, that he did not forsake him. Yes, Jesus was feeling forsaken, but he was not forsaken. And brothers and sisters, that's been my experience in life. At times when I feel forsaken, I look back now and I go, not true. Not true. You may remember I love the picture of the footprints in the sand. Excuse me. There's this artist who's drawn a picture, and there's two sets of footprints going across the sand a long way out into the distance. And then there's some writing on there, and there's a guy talking, and he says, Lord, I notice, I'm looking back over my life, and I notice when I go through the, you know, we're walking together, but I notice through the hardest times of my life that there's only one set of footprints. Why have you forsaken me? And God says, son, there's only one set of footprints because I was carrying you. And friends, we can't see it sometimes. We feel forsaken, but God hasn't gone anywhere. And he is right there with us, carrying us through. And that's what Jesus concludes right here. He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. When you cry to him for help, he hears you. He may not always be able to answer in the way you want exactly, but he hears you and he is with you. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. Brothers and sisters, I believe God is giving his son a picture of the future while he's hanging on that cross. Remember, the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I believe his father is letting him see that. And here he is as he's hanging on this cross, meditating on what's coming. Remember, he said many other things from that cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He said to the thief who was hanging beside him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He said to all of us, it is finished. I believe meaning your salvation is accomplished. The work is done. It's purchased. It's paid in full. Excuse me. And he said to his heavenly Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You see this rapport the Son has with his heavenly Father, even while he's hanging on this cross. Keep going in verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will bow before him. Check this out. Even he who cannot keep his soul alive. Brothers and sisters, the grave is not the goal. Death is not the end of you. You're an eternal being created in the image of the living God. Verse 30. Posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come and will declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has performed it. Again, I believe Jesus is looking into the future, and he is seeing you telling your neighbor about the salvation Jesus Christ just purchased on Calvary's cross. And he's glad. He's celebrating everything that's being accomplished right there as he's suffering. So, when you feel forsaken, remember God's work from the past. Ask for his help in the present. Pour out all the details to him. All the details. Overemphasize your request for help. Rest in his faithfulness. And tell others. Tell others. Many of you, I'm sure, many of you remember Jane Unbehagen well. I did not get her permission to tell this story, but I'm telling you, she would give it 100%. Remember Jane Unbehagen sitting right over there, starting to go through cancer. And yet she would come in here every single week and give us some verse or some exciting promise the Lord had given her, some great thing that was happening in her life, either having to do with her cancer or in association with it. That woman told others and helped us deal with her cancer, as incredible as that is. You may feel forsaken, but God hears you, and you can still tell others. Tell them about your faith in him. Tell them that you know God's faithful, and it's gonna end well. Right? I mean, this week's been a challenging week in our country, right? As we continue to hit them repeatedly. Brokenness, such brokenness in our world. But we know the end of the story. We know God's going to come through. Please pray together with me. Lord in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for the word of God, Lord. I thank you for these psalms that speak to our souls, Lord. They just go down deep and show us what people are feeling, the pain, the joy. Lord, I pray that you'll help us because we experience deep emotions so often in life. Lord, help us when we do to turn to you. Lord, we know you're faithful. Lord, help us, just like the Lord Jesus, to turn to you in those times. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here going through that right now, that you will be their rock, Lord. And we just thank you again for your Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.